One of the songs I love is by Andy Williams. It's the most wonderful time of the year, with the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you to be a good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. And some people are saying, wow, thanks, Keith, for not singing. Praise the Lord. But it's the most wonderful time of the year because we get to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. However, friends, Christmas can be one of the most stressful times of the year. Financially, things have gone expensive, gifts and especially food. Physically, because we always seem to be on the move, going places and doing things. And then there is emotional stress. Loneliness and loss seems more pronounced at Christmas than any other time of the year. It's hard to imagine anyone more stressed by Christmas than a young lady we're going to meet in Luke chapter 1. This young lady, in fact, she was a teenager, just slightly older than our Ellie. I mean, just slightly younger than our Ellie. Younger. She was just a teenager. She received perhaps the greatest surprise in history, a surprise that turned her world and ours upside down. We are going to look at her response to this surprise, which came in the form of a question. The question has been a part of the Christmas story for over 2,000 years. Luke chapter 1, 34. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" Imagine the shock. Thank you, Bob. An angel appears to you and the Lord favors you and is with you. This in and of itself, friends, this makes the story hard for many to believe. Angels don't just appear to someone, especially to a woman in the Jewish culture. The angel tells her, "Hey, you are going to have a baby." Now, this is not going to be any baby. This is going to be the Messiah, the Son of God. And I'm sure by this point that Mary was so overwhelmed that she was not sure what to believe. Now, Mary knew about the prophesied Messiah, but I'm sure she was shocked that it was her that would give birth to him. And I read about this little boy who came home from Sunday school. And his mother asked him, "What did you learn at Sunday school?" The little boy said, he learned about a man named Moses that was leading some people away from the Egyptians. And the Egyptians were chasing them. And as the Egyptians chased them, they came to a huge river. So Moses had all his men build a bridge. And then all the people crossed over. And as soon as they crossed over, the little fellow says, "Moses called an airstrike. And the planes blew up the bridges so that the Egyptians could not capture them." The mom asked the little boy, "Are you sure that's what your teacher taught you?" The boy said, "No, that's not what she said. But you will never believe what she told us about Mary." Like this little boy said, no one will believe this story. And I'm sure that is one of the first things that came to Mary's mind. It doesn't take a brain scientist to figure this out, friends, that a virgin cannot get pregnant. I can imagine Mary at that moment thinking, what is Joseph going to say? What is going to happen to me? Am I going to be taken out of the town and stoned? This is what's going on in her mind. Let me tell you a little bit about Mary. Don't know much. Although some people spend a lot of time worshiping her. Listen, we don't know much about Mary. We know that she had a cousin named Elizabeth. We know that she was poor. We know that she was young. We know that she had faith. And we know that she was engaged to a fellow named Joseph. Friends, today's text has some extraordinary things to teach us who God chose to be the earthly mother of his son. Firstly, God often chooses to use those that the world rejects. That's very encouraging for me. Because most times we don't measure up to the standards of the world, isn't that so? They're always pushing us down. But God chooses to use the things and the people that the world rejects. The story begins in verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed, to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." When the story opens, we find Mary is engaged to Joseph. This meant that she had formally agreed to marry him, but the wedding had not taken place. Between the engagement and the wedding feast, there was a period of 6 months to a year. During this period, the couple though they were considered as husband and wife, they did not live together and they did not consummate the marriage. This is a Jewish culture. It is at this point, friends, that God enters the scene. He is about to ask this unknown little girl, young girl, to take part in something that will change your life and, of course, the course of history forever. This he does, friends, through an angel named Gabriel. Some would have discounted Mary because she was young and she was poor. But listen, friends. Nothing extraordinary about her sticks out to us. Later in her life, she would live and she would marry, she would have children. She would probably never travel a few miles from the place she was born. Someone said she was a nobody in an insignificant town in the middle of nowhere. God often uses those the world would reject, and that is encouraging. Secondly, to Mary, God promises to answer to man's sin problem. The text tells us in verse 29, "But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was." She didn't know what to make of it. But what Mary did was stop to consider what the appearance of the angel meant to her and what message might require his message might require of her. And so in verse 30 onwards, we see there the angel said to Mary, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. and shall call his name Jesus. This is where Matthew in 1:21 says, and he will save his people from their sins. Amen. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? Friends, the announcement that Mary received greatly troubled her. She did not think of herself as one who was highly favored. She was going to have a baby. And as I said, not just any baby. She was going to give birth to the Son of God. The prophecy of the coming of Christ was well known to every Jew. They were waiting expectantly for the Messiah to come. Mary, however, would have been the last to imagine that God's purpose would be accomplished through her. The first prediction of the birth of the Savior was given to mankind just after the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. And in the wake of Adam and Eve's sin, original sin, not only were they told of the judgment that they had brought on themselves and mankind, but that God promised them a coming Savior. Genesis 3, verse 15, God said, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. Pay attention to that capital S. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Yet God referred to the supernatural process whereby he would defeat the enemy. He would defeat Satan by the seed of a woman, not by the seed of a man. Scripture foretold the same process again 700 years before Jesus was born by the prophet Isaiah. He says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you will call his name Emmanuel. What striking words. The virgin shall conceive. Again, I think we can all agree. The natural course of history, virgins do not conceive. So just how important is the fact that Jesus was born of a virgin? How important is that? Well, if Jesus was not born of a virgin, there will be no Christmas. Since the Bible clearly teaches the virgin birth of Jesus, we have to believe it, friends. We cannot deny it. Because if we can't believe that, we can't believe anything else the Bible says. Yes. To deny the virgin birth of Jesus is to reduce him to the level of an ordinary human. If Jesus was the son of a human father and a human mother through natural biological processes, then he is not God in human flesh. He is not Emmanuel. He can never be Emmanuel. It's that simple. Believing the virgin birth is essential to affirm the sinless humanity of Jesus Christ. Let me just say that in a different way. If Jesus was born of natural parents, he would have been born a sinner just like us. Yeah. Isn't that true? Yeah. And he himself would need a savior. If he had sin of his own, he could never die as a substitute for our sins. If he did not die for ours as a substitute for our sins, then we are lost and without hope. C.S. Lewis said, the Son of God became a man to enable men to become sons of God. Christmas isn't just, friends, a story to make us feel warm and fuzzy about family and friends and peace on earth. No. At the heart of the Christmas story, friends, is that we as people are lost, alienated from a holy God because of our sin. And 2 Corinthians, we read, it's not on the screen, but you will remember what 2 Corinthians 5:21 says. For he, that is God, made him, that is Jesus, who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God in him. Amen. Friends, when earlier the same angel, Gabriel, told Zechariah and his wife, Elizabeth, that they were going to have a son, we know him as John the Baptist. In unbelief, Zechariah requested a sign. In verse 18, it's not there. You know what Zechariah said to the angel? How shall I know this? I am an old man and my wife is well advanced in years. He wanted some kind of confirming proof. Mary, however, doesn't ask for proof. She simply asks for clarification. In verse 34, she said, how can this be, since I do not know a man? She wanted clarification, friends, as to what was expected of her, so that she can cooperate with the purpose of God. Her question stemmed from her faith, while Zacharias's question stemmed from his doubt. God promised, friends, the answer to man's sin problem. God is not limited, thirdly, friends, by what is physically possible. Amen. Amen. Gabriel's answer to Mary's question is found in verse 35 to 37. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month of her, for her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Hey, nothing is impossible. The angel said, you want to know how, Mary? I'll tell you how. Nothing is impossible with God. You want to know, Mary? You ready? Nothing is impossible with God. In case Mary had any doubts, Gabriel called her attention to the case of her cousin, Elizabeth. Elizabeth was now 6 months pregnant. And of course, the two situations are not the same. It's not the same with Mary and Elizabeth. Mary was a teenager. Elizabeth was nearly 70. Elizabeth's conception was in the normal way. But the point is, listen, this is the point, friends. Both are examples of human impossibilities. Right? Both are an example of human impossibilities being made possible by the word and the promise of God. Amen. Amen. What they told you is impossible for you is not impossible with God. Amen. With God, all things are possible. They said, oh, you know what? There's nothing we can do for you. Don't believe it. Yeah. Friends, Gabriel's parting words said it all. For nothing is impossible with God. What a wonderful promise. Gabriel's words are no less true in our age. What are you facing in your life, friends? Fear? Nothing is impossible with God. Confusion? Nothing is impossible with God. You feel like you're too tired to go on? Nothing is impossible with God. You can't get along with your family? Well, nothing is impossible with God. You think you will never get over your anger? You think you will never be able to forgive? You think you are never, you will never feel capable? You think you will never be loved? You think you will never be healthy? You think you will never be happy? Well, nothing is impossible with God. Amen. Come on now. God is not limited by what is physically possible. And lastly, friends, following God is not without cost. Don't believe someone who say, hey, become a Christian is just a bed of roses. No. Comes with a cost. Frederick Buchner, in his book Peculiar Treasures, is about character sketches of people from the Bible, has this to say about Angel Gabriel as he encounters Mary. And he just writes about it. He says, she struck him as hardly old enough to have a child at all, let alone this child. But he had been entrusted with a message to give her, and he gave it. He told her what the child was to be named, who he was to be, and something about the mystery that was to come upon her. You mustn't be afraid, Mary, he said. And as he said it, he only hoped that she wouldn't notice that beneath the golden wings, he himself was trembling with fear to think that the whole future of creation hung on the answer of this teenage girl. Hey? Mary may have been young, but she wasn't fickle, she wasn't just haphazard and shallow and so on. With her words recorded in verse 38, Mary proved that God indeed had chosen the right one. Her response to the angel was, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let's say these words. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. You see that? She doesn't. No. She said, let it be. Let it be. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Mary's believing response was to surrender herself completely to God as his willing servant. But she puts herself as a maidservant. Maidservant is the lowest form of a female servant, which shows how much Mary trusted God. Listen to this sentence. Listen to this, friend. She had experienced the grace of God and believed the word of God and was able to accomplish the will of God. Amen. Yes. Amen. Yes. Mary's response was, let it be already. Let it be according to your word. It helps us to understand, friends, that God never focuses or forces. He never forces his love and his will upon anyone. He didn't grab Mary by the collar. Come on. He says, God is with you. God favors you. And he wants you to have a son. And she said, let it be. Friends, these are words of trust. But let's not underestimate what it cost Mary to say yes to God. Gone were the girlish dreams of a beautiful wedding. You know, little girls, they're already planning and dreaming of that special day. Gone are the carefully thought out plans for the wedding day and who's my bridesmaids. Gone are the hopes of the most beautiful wedding to the most wonderful man who ever lived, her best friend, her fiancé, Joseph. Mary either knew or would soon realize that saying yes to God meant public misunderstanding and shame. She would be married, but not before rumors spread throughout the country. The accusations of immorality, pointed fingers, those who whispered behind her back. This was part of the pain that she experienced. She risked everything to follow God. She risked her future married, risked losing Joseph if he did not believe. Her reputation was on the line. Her whole life was on the line because according to Deuteronomy 22, verse 23 and 24, that if a person who was engaged became pregnant, she would be taken out and stoned. Knowing all this, the shame, the people talking, she said, let it be according to your word. Let it be according to your word. This is surely one of the most courageous statements ever uttered, friends. Saying yes to God will cost you too, friends. But we have to say, let it be, Lord. Let it be, Lord. For many Christians, I want to conclude. For many, Christmas is a stressful time, and some are carrying heavy burdens today. For some people, Christmas is a very lonely time of the year. Some people, as we speak, are facing a financial crisis, and there seems to be no hope. Everything seems hopeless. Some are estranged from members of their own family. Some have children who are far away from God. Some feel lonely and far away from God themselves. And the list goes on and on. But all these things have this in common, friends. They seem impossible to solve by human means. They seem impossible. For the most part, they are. But remember this, friends. Christmas is all about miracles. They happened 2,000 years ago, and they can still happen today. You know why? Nothing is impossible with God. Amen. 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 What is it that God wants from you and I? He wants the same things He wanted from Mary. Simple faith that He will keep His word in unlikely and unexpected ways. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Thank you, Lord. We look across the congregation and we see everybody looking so lovely, smiling. And yet we feel, Lord God, some feel really stressed at this time for various reasons. And yeah, we see from Mary, this simple girl in the middle of nowhere, that you choose her, Lord. And she didn't go all crazy. She just simply said, let it be. I have faith in you. I have faith in you. And so, Lord, whatever stresses us out today, that we will have faith in you, because nothing is impossible with you. Bless everyone, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.